Welcome to the Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Pop Show. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date, January 9th, 2020. The world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So all the bad news is actually good news, because it's going to get really worse before he gets here. But it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of that shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice for Yeshua tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. Phone number, of course, 620-878-4682. And an emergency cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Text me first because of all the rebel calls. Now, you can find updates with the breaking news, Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, contact information at our ministry hub. Very simply, prophecyhour.com. That's right, prophecyhour.com. Remember, folks, we are a national satellite radio program. Hey, we're simulcast live on the net internationally, raw on YouTube, and on some FM stations. So pray about sporting airtime. On another note, let's thank our listener base. It's worldwide in places like Helsinki, Finland, Budapest, Hungary, Sydney, Australia, and Vienna, Austria. And, of course, cities in the United States such as what? Indianapolis, Indiana, Seattle, Washington, Detroit, Michigan, St. Louis, Missouri. And Wichita, Kansas is the largest group of listeners to our programs when they podcast later tonight. Now, follow and share us at Twitter. That's Pastor Dan Catlin at Branch 77. Now, prayer, and I'll bring on tonight's guest, and you're going to enjoy the program. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I just ask that you just bless radio tonight. Give everybody out there ears in which to hear and understand the truth, Father. So in your son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, folks, we saw our president do what no other presidents were afraid to do, out of fear of a major war. They were scared to do what he did with I'm talking about Iran. It was the right thing to do, war or no war, as the Iranian general was the biggest terrorist in the world. Iran fired back, showing us a couple of things. One, their weapons look like pieces of outdated junk compared to the American weapon systems. Almost half of what was fired simply didn't work, fell to the ground, and others did very little. It looks like Iran is now standing down out of fear of what this country, or rather President Trump, is really willing to do. Has World War III been avoided? I really don't know. We're going to talk about it tonight. After all, they did raise a red flag, meaning blood revenge, and they have not yet gotten that, but I heard that they were saying that they did kill Americans, lying, in other words, to appease their people. So, really, is the Father just using our president to shape world events to line up with Bible prophecy? I don't know, but for one thing, I'll tell you, it just seems like everything he does goes against all odds, and he still wins. So we'll pray about those things. And folks, for the record, yes, there are sleeper cells in the United States that they could use them. Why didn't they? I have no idea. After all, when the world says peace, peace, sudden destruction comes. But tonight we brought on back with us Michael Snyder. He's been on with us many times before talking about different subjects. And so we're going to bring him on and talk tonight. He has a blog called The Economic Collapse Blog. And the most important thing, or the most important news is what the name of it is. It's really a great blog, and he does get out there almost every day. If something major happens, he's on it. He's also the author of the books The Beginning of the End and The Rapture Verdict. He's become very popular on other prophecy programs and related radio and TV programs. So now that I welcome him back, are you there with me, Michael?
I am here, Pastor Dan. Shalom. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. We're doing good. Before we get into all this, I really just want to ask, is it possible I want to go into a little bit into you first before we go into these other things?
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Okay, well, first off, I'm curious, you know, your baby is fairly new. I mean, how is your family and how is your baby and how are you adjusting to that?
Well, we're doing well. We've got Atara now is 4 years old, our daughter, and we have a son, Ari, who is 1 year old. So yeah, here I am. I just turned 50 years old, and I'm running around after a 4 year old and a 1 year old. And fortunately, my wife is 9 years younger than me, so she has more energy than I do. But they keep us extremely busy. But we feel very blessed to have our children and, you know, but it's kind of, scary to bring children into this world, which is really starting to spin out of control. Then, you know, we're seeing events escalate and we, you know, you and I both believe, Pastor Dan, that we are in the times just before the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we know, as you said earlier in the program, things are going to get bad. So our family's doing great. We've had some time of rest, some time of peace. But we know that as things start to escalate, well, the demands on all of our, for those of us who are in the Bible prophecy, talking about Bible prophecy, especially teaching on it accurately, the demands on our time and are going to increase in the times ahead because people are going to want answers. People are going to say, hey, the world is going crazy. Does the Bible have to say anything about this? And so we are doing well, but we also know that it's kind of the calm before the storm, that things are starting to happen, things we've been anticipating are starting to happen, and that means that it's game time for those who are ready to minister and be the people that God created them to be in this hour.
Yeah, absolutely. A couple of things. First, I understand about the children. My youngest is going to be 19 in a few days, and I'll be 65 this year. So I know what it's like to raise children. My children didn't, you know, weren't even born until I was in my 30s. But anyway, moving off of that. One thing I wanted to ask you about, I know you took a hiatus from some of the prophecy stuff because you thought you could do a really good job, and you could have in Washington. And so you didn't win. I imagine that was a pretty horrendous process because I saw it as somebody, you know, very godly and, you know, knowing the times, you going up against an ungodly system, and so that was pretty hard. I just wondered if you thought about writing about that, or if you maybe have another book in the works, because I'm sure your last book was dynamite. I'm just curious. You got anything in the works?
We do have a couple of books in the works, but I'm not ready to announce anything quite
That's
yet.
Fine.
But yeah, what Pastor Dan was referring to is a couple of years ago, I ran for Congress, and it was really eye-opening because we worked really hard. We raised about, you know, $140,000, which, you know, wasn't a ton, but for this district, it was, you know, usually that amount of money would be competitive. But I think somebody in Washington really got spooked because as the election drew near, all of a sudden the big Washington, D.C. PACs just started pouring unprecedented amounts of money into this district, more money than anybody's ever seen in a congressional race in Idaho before. For example, one PAC alone poured in more money than any of the candidates spent. One PAC alone spent about $750,000 on television commercials, mailers, you know. And so all that money coming in really turned what was a close race into a complete blowout by the end. And so, you know, the Washington, D.C. establishment identified who they wanted, and they spent massive amounts of money. They spent more, one PAC alone spent more money than any of the candidates raised. And so they completely turned the tide, and it showed me just the power of the Washington, D.C. establishment, the power of money in politics. But then you're right, after that, I took a little bit of a break from interviewing, from being out in public so much. I just needed to take a break from that for a little while, and God needed to, you know, work on my heart a little bit because, you know, we're all in the process of becoming who we're going to be. And so that's been part of my process over the last couple of years, is becoming who God wants me to be for the end times, for what we're moving into. And so we're all in the process of growing and maturing in Messiah, and that's been part of my process.
Yeah, amen. And I first came across you when with the Economic Collapse blog, which was a huge success in my eyes, anyway, that I probably brought you to the forefront. But here's my point. You're very good at analysis. I mean, whether it's the economy or other situations, and this report that you did earlier this week. About the red flag and the details about it. I was with you even, I'm a total Trump supporter. I'm not saying anything down about him, but I thought we were going to be in war within days. And so I was was really shocked to see that it looked like Iran, made a futile attempt to save face. Which brings me to a point. With that kind of odds, I mean, in all intents and purposes, I believe that today when we were talking on radio that the casualties were going to be all over the world almost, that we were going to be knee-deep in war, but yet here we sit, and it seems like it's all calmed again. It just doesn't seem, it's like the economy. Let's go with the economy. We thought that it was going to be in a recession. By now, it looked like it. Now I'm reading economists saying, well, now our economy is almost recession-proof. Is God using President Trump against all odds to make things like it should be for the end times? What do you think about all that? I'm kind of baffled.
Yeah, well, I think, obviously we see throughout the scriptures and all throughout history, God has used leaders to direct the paths and the courses of nations. And so I think God has raised up Trump for this hour to direct the course of events. And most people don't realize we came so close to World War III this week. And most Americans don't even get that. But, we saw the U.S. Embassy attacked, and that was that, and U.S. embassies around the world are considered to be U.S. soil. So there's thousands and thousands of people. They stormed our embassy in Baghdad. They set the reception area on fire. There are plumes of smoke, coming up from the embassy. Our personnel were huddled in a safe area inside, just scared to death. And so President Trump felt he had to respond to that. And so President Trump looked at it and said, well, who is ultimately responsible? Well, all these Shiite militia groups that were involved in storming the embassy, ultimately they're directed by Iran. And so President Trump came out right away. He said, we're holding Iran responsible for attacking our embassy. And so then in Iran, well, who's most responsible? And of course his advisors told him, well, this particular Iranian general, he kind of directs all Iranian, activity in terms of the broader Middle East, whether it's Iraq, right. Syria, Lebanon. And in fact, the protesters actually scrawled his name on the walls of our embassy and said, he is our leader when they were attacking him.
Okay.
So President Trump said, okay, so we're going to take this guy out. And so that's what he did. And obviously the Iranians were enraged about this because he was basically the second most important person in their entire country. And here in the United States, we really don't have the equivalent of that because, in our country, generals are not superstars. Generals are not national heroes. In fact,
right.
Most Americans probably couldn't even name a single U.S. general. But in Iran, things worked very, very differently. And so the Iranians were greatly grieved about this. In fact, the death of this Iranian general, the Iranian state television actually interrupted their broadcasting to announce that he had died. And so and then they had a multi-day funeral procession, and that included, as you alluded to earlier, Pastor Dan, the raising of a red flag over the famous Jakarin Mosque in the Iranian holy city of Qom. So they raised this blood red flag over this mosque for the first time in history. We've never seen it before. And we were told that this blood red flag represented, quote, blood spilled unjustly, unquote, and also it represents a call for revenge. And so, and of course, that wasn't the only place with the red flag. It was also being flown at anti-U.S. demonstrations in Tehran and elsewhere. And so there was this great thirst for revenge, great thirst for blood in Iran. And so we knew the Iranians were going to hit back. And, I mean, we just didn't know where at first. We didn't know what form it might take. But ultimately, they fired missiles at two U.S. bases in Iraq. And when that news first broke, I mean, everyone's talking about World War III. You know, on the Drudge Report, there was the top headline said, it's war. So everybody thought that it was going to be war. And if you're sitting in the Oval Office at that point, and your military people are telling you, Iran just fired missiles at two of our bases, it would have been really, really easy for President Trump in that moment to say, okay, hit them back, send missiles at Iran. And you know, we've seen past presidents, you know, responded in a similar manner. So it would have been so easy to do that. But President Trump waited, and he waited for an accurate damage assessment to be made. And it turned out that there weren't any American casualties, that no American was killed, no American was even injured. Yeah. And so ultimately later on, many analysts here in the United States said, hey, well, it looks like, yeah, Iran was firing at our bases, but it appears that they were firing at areas where they potentially knew U.S. troops weren't going to be. In fact, there was apparently a warning before the attacks that missiles were going to be fired at these bases that was passed on to the Iraqi government, which passed it on to us. So our troops actually knew what was coming and knew to get to safe areas to shelter and so forth. So, as you kind of alluded to earlier, Pastor Dan, it appears that the Iranians, they had to do something to pacify their population, to say, hey, look, we're taking revenge, we're hitting the Americans back, but they knew if they spilled American blood, well, then Trump would probably do something and hit them back. So, and, right. You know, the Iranians maybe said, okay, we're going to take revenge, but we're going to try to do it in a way that doesn't start a war. So they presented Trump with an opportunity to kind of back out and to kind of back away and not go to war. But the Iranians also warned, as I detailed on my website, that if Trump did strike back, that they were going to hit Israel with missiles. In particular, they threatened to completely destroy the city of Haifa. Once Iranian missiles started falling in Israel, Israel would have struck back with overwhelming force, and then it would have been on. Then there would have been no stopping World War III. It all came down ultimately to the decision that Donald Trump made, and the decision was in his hands. He had a small window of opportunity to avert war, at least for the moment, and he took that opportunity. I'm so glad he did. And so now, like you said, it seems like things have settled down for the moment. However, you know, subsequently we've seen Shiite militia in Iraq fire more rockets at our bases. We were also seeing where Israel and the United States are both saying that Iran will not be able to complete their nuclear program, where Iran has restarted it, and they say, yeah, we are going to complete it. So the clock is ticking there. So ultimately, the crisis is not over by any stretch of the imagination, and war could still start at any time. But at least for the moment, at least for this week, we've avoided World War III, and I think that's something that we should be very grateful for.
Yeah, amen. A couple of things. Number one, I think without this general, I don't think in any way, shape, or form was Iran really ready to go to war, because they didn't have anybody that could replace him, unlike our general system, you know, where if a general's taken out, well, there's a second in command that can take right over and so on and so forth. This guy was an icon, and he had a lot of contacts, and like you say, he controlled, now he really, in reality, he controlled most of all these proxy terror groups all around the country and the world. In fact, that there's a lot of reports, which I thoroughly believe, and Stan Johnson can even tell you this, you know, about the sleeper cells that are inside the United States of America. And that is a conclusion that even military analysts say that. And so, for whatever reason, I think that Trump actually put them in shock. I don't believe that you know, they thought he would do something as dramatic as take out basically their total commander-in-chief, other than the Ayatollah. But like you say, though, this is just a little while. I don't believe, because inevitably, Bible prophecy says that Iran's going to go against Israel, as with other countries, of course, and that'll be in Gog and Magog. But, you know, here's my whole point, and then we're going to get ready to go to break, I think it all boils down to one thing, timing. We're in Bible prophecy, we're in that time of the end. Is it that time yet? Michael, tell them where the best place to find you is, and we'll go to break, and we'll come back and talk.
Yeah, if people want to find all my articles gathered in one place, they can go to themostimportantnews.com. And also in there, I've got a prophecy section right below the main news section where you can read about what the Lord has been showing people all over the world about the things that are coming. And this crisis is definitely not over. Also, if you can find my books on Amazon.com, just type in Michael Snyder, The Beginning of the End, or Michael Snyder, The Rapture Verdict. You can find my books there. And as you mentioned earlier, I've also got the economiccollapseblog.com, endoftheamericandream.com. So lots of places where people can find my work.
Yeah, amen. Folks, okay, we'll go over and look at those things, and we'll come back and talk more with Michael in about 4 minutes. We'll be right back.
Go away, Pastor Dan will be right back. Lately, these blind eyes
were open for me. Lord, I thank you for my mother, all those nights in prayer. Even when her heart was aching, she knew that you were there. Ask you, Lord, to bless my mother, praying for me.
About 800 years before the birth of Messiah, the prophet Micah foretold his birth in Bethlehem. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratath, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Every year, thousands of Christian pilgrims make their way to Bethlehem to visit the city in which the Messiah was born. Although unaware, most of them are taken into a subterranean cave where the pagan sun god Tammuz was worshipped, and are told that this is the place where Jesus was born. Tammuz was the Akkadian sun god, also known as Adonis by the Greeks. In mythology, he was known to be the husband of Ishtar, from which we derive the name Easter. His birthday was known to be at the time of the winter solstice, or December 25th. Jerome, the Latin Bible translator, whose school was located adjacent to the cave, informs us of the worship of Tammuz on this spot. Quote, "Even my own Bethlehem, as it now is that most venerable spot in the whole world, of which the psalmist sings, 'The truth has sprung out of the earth,' was overshadowed by a grove of Tammuz, that is, of Adonis. And in the very cave where the infant Christ had uttered his earliest cry, lamentation was made for the paramour of Venus." End quote. Just one more example of the pagan influences upon modern-day Christianity. I'm Richard Reeves with Just the Facts. For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227, or visit our website at www.toolong.com.
We're back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. We're talking with Michael Snyder about several things going on. We'll get right back to him in a minute, but first a word about the Mission Church. You know, right now, homelessness is in the major news, especially in places like San Francisco, Los Angeles, whatever. I mean, it just shows, some of these cities are making it, the problem much, much worse because of liberal policies. But if we look to the Word, who is actually supposed to take care of the poor? I mean, the poor, according to the Word, we're supposed to leave part of our fields, a corner, back when we were agricultural, we're supposed to leave a corner of our fields for the poor to eat off of. And the Torah tells us that, to lift your brother up in need so he isn't harmed when something happens to him, so he isn't harmed. We're supposed to act quickly. So whose job is it? Is it really the government's job who messes up almost everything? No. It isn't. Absolutely not. In fact, the church used to be the welfare system, so to speak. But that isn't the way now. The United States took over the welfare system, and the church kind of got out of that business. Some churches really are still helping. I know some that are. But the point is, the body of Messiah, that's whose responsibility it is to take care of the problem. That means me and you. Folks, you really need to pray about it, because actually, part of everything that you do is to help the poor. And of course, it says you're worse than an infidel if you don't take care of your own household first. So we are supposed to do that. The job isn't the city. The job isn't the government. The job is the church, the body of Yeshua HaMashiach, and you and me. So pray about it. You really need to be doing something. And I'm not just saying it so you give me money. Well, yeah, sure, I'd love for you to donate to Messiah's Branch. It starts at home in your own household, and it works out from there. We are a mission church. We are the very last hope for so very many. And we all, folks, all of us, we're responsible to care one for another, as we all of us are our brother's keeper. All donations, no matter what size, helps. But the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart, of course. You can donate online or over the telephone, mail a check or money order, and you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com. And we do really need your help. We enter the new year, donations follow off after the holidays, and so we really need your help. If you don't wish to help or support, you're listening to radio. Radio isn't free. Radio airtime has to be paid for. The lights, gas, electric, all that stuff. All that's got to be paid for. Internet's got to be paid for. Radio airtime. So pray about supporting radio. If you make a donation for radio, mark it for radio. And now we're back with Michael Snyder. If I haven't run him off yet, are you still there, Michael?
I am here, Pastor Dan.
Well, amen. And while I want to, on the last part of our program, I just want to say one thing. We really did, that flag means that they want revenge, and the revenge has to come through shedding of blood, and they haven't did that yet. And so, folks, you need to keep your eyes open on that. But I'd like to shift it to another subject that you're really, I call an expert at, the economy. What is going on? The economy was supposed to go into recession. It looked like it was going to crash. But it's just speeding on and on and on and on. What is your opinion with that? Please, brother, please.
Yeah, we've been at this period of relative stability for some time now. Now, you know, some people have used the term booming to describe the economy, and they shouldn't be using that, because in order, basically the definition for a good year for the economy is when the U.S. economy grows by 3% or better. And before this present era, the longest stretch in all of U.S. history when we had had a several years in a row of of growth below 3% was from 1930 to 1933. We had 4 years in a row when U.S. economic growth was below 3% for 4 years in a row. That was the longest stretch in U.N. history. But now, in order to find the last year when we actually had a year when the U.S. economy grew by at least 3%, you have to go back to 2005. So you have to go back, now 15 years ago to find the last time we had that. So this is, we've absolutely shattered the old record. We haven't had a good year in a very, very long time. But we've had years when things have been relatively stable. We should be very, very thankful for that. But, of course, those that have benefited the most have been the wealthy, because the Federal Reserve has pumped trillions of dollars into the financial markets, and that's really jacked up stock prices. And so pretty much all of the gains that we've seen have gone to, like, the top 1% or the top 10%. But meanwhile, those at the bottom of the food chain are really hurting. You know, today we've got more than 500,000 Americans that are homeless in this country, and that's why ministries like yours are so important, Pastor Dan, because that's a crisis that is growing and getting worse, particularly on the West Coast. But also, we've got more than 40 million Americans in poverty. We've got half the country, according to the Social Security Administration, half the country makes $33,000 a year or less, according to official government numbers. A recent survey found that more than 70% of Americans have cried about money. So most of the country, and poll after poll, survey after survey, has found that most Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. Right on the edge, you know, our country is drowning in debt. U.S. consumers are $14 trillion in debt. Corporate debt has jumped more than 50% since the last recession, to all-time record high. State and local government debt, all-time record high. The U.S. Government, $23 trillion in debt now, been increasing at a rate of more than $1 trillion a year ever since Barack Obama first entered the White House. And so, and all that debt has helped to stimulate the economy in the short term when the government borrows money it doesn't have and spends it into the economy, but has made our long-term problems even worse. So we're more ripe for a debt crisis than ever before in our history. We're more ripe for a stock market crash than ever before in our history. And certainly things, so many things have been moving into position for a recession, and not just a recession, but a very, very serious economic downturn, but now it hasn't happened quite yet. But it's like so many other things where we've been seeing, Pastor Dan, where things, the scenarios to fulfill Bible prophecy have been moving into position for what I and John Paul Jackson and others have called the perfect storm. We've been seeing relations with China deteriorate, which we've been anticipating for a very, very long time, and now that they're more tense than ever. Relations with Russia deteriorate. You know, moving, and you know, many of your listeners already realize someday we're going to be at war with both Russia and China. You know, we've seen things get tenser in the Middle East, and we are eventually going to see a great war with Israel and Iran and their neighbors. And Hezbollah, who's an Iranian proxy, has more than 150,000 missiles pointed at Israel. Iran has more than 200,000 missiles ready to go. So if they really wanted to hurt the U.S., they could have launched a whole lot more missiles, but, and, you know, they've got their, you know, allies there, you know, they get Israel surrounded by Islamic Jihad. Hamas is now, you know, very friendly with Hezbollah, you know, because they both hate Israel so much, and you've got, you know, the other factions there. But eventually there is going to be a great war in the Middle East, Israel and Iran, and Israel and her terrorist neighbors. And the good news is that Israel's going to get back much more of her land, and that sets the stage for something else, Pastor Dan, which perhaps we can discuss. Because when we talk about Bible prophecy, so often people just focus on the negative things that are coming. And God warns us about those things in advance so that we won't be afraid, so that we can see them happening. We can say, hey, God is in control. He told us about all this in advance. We don't have to be afraid, but it is the world that will be afraid when they see these things happen, because they won't understand what's happening. They'll be like, the world's coming to an end. It's World War III. We don't know what to do. Why is this happening? So God tells us in advance so we won't be afraid. But in addition, Pastor Dan, you know, there are major prophecies in the Bible regarding Israel which still need to be fulfilled, because the Bible says in the last days that Judah, the Jewish people, would return to the land of Israel, and praise God, they have returned in 1948. They retook Jerusalem in 1967, just like the Bible said, and they have become established in the land, the southern kingdom of Judah, you know, consisting also of the Benjamites and the Levites and so forth. But they have returned, but the Bible also says in the last days that the 10 northern tribes, so they're referred to as the lost tribes, although they're really not lost, but the northern kingdom, the tribes of the northern kingdom, will return to the land of Israel as well, be reunited as one stick in the land, as the prophet Ezekiel says, one stick in the land, never to be divided again. And so that is this kind of the second part of the prophecy that we're waiting to be fulfilled. And the ancient homeland of the northern kingdom, you know, right now, so much of it is occupied by the Palestinians, you know, whether you're talking about Samaria, that whole area. But the Word of God says that in the last days, like, to the northern kingdom, that where it was said, you are not my people, there, in that exact place, there it will be said, you are the children of the living God. You are the sons of the living God. And so God is going to get that land back for the northern kingdom, for the 10 lost tribes, and they're going to return. They're going to be reunited with Judah, never to be divided as a nation again. And it is in that place that they will be called, and they'll say, hey, you are the children of the living God. And God's going to raise up this great army, take them back to the land. And that's the good news, because a lot of people who are listening to this broadcast, I believe, are going to be part of that.
Yeah, amen. A couple of things. You covered a lot there real quick. Let me see if I remember everything I wanted to point out. I'm going to come back up to Israel and the good news, but I want to backtrack a second on the economy. While yes, we are, you know, I agree, there are so many people in poverty, it's pitiful, but for the record, you know, there is the wages hasn't matched up to get them out of poverty. But there are so many people working now that was not working before that things are changing on a smaller scale. It's like, you know, their wages are going to have to get much higher. And it's like this, and my wife couldn't understand. She said, well, why does that cost so much? I don't get it. And I said, well, you know, you have to look at what actual middle class wage is. Actual middle class wages are around 20-some bucks an hour. I mean, you're still talking about people, yes, they're back to work, folks, but the minimum wage is only like, what, $7 and something. And so there's that huge, huge gap that's always getting bigger. And so that's what controls the prices. You know, I tell people all the time, I hate it, like I go to Sam's Warehouse to buy food for the Mission Church. And man, Sam's has got some of the best food there is, and I kind of once in a while glance over at their nice ribeye steaks that I cannot afford in any way, shape, or form. So, you know, hey, I'd love to have a ribeye, but I'm a hamburger guy because that's the kind of money I have. And most of our money all goes to the Mission Church. But anyway, so it is getting better on that scale, but we're so, and it, so the next thing I want to say is that, as you pointed out, it's like, folks, it's like we're standing on the edge of a cliff. I don't see, other than the fact that the hand of the Father is in it, how we haven't stepped off in it. Because this time when this economy crashes, and I believe it will, as Michael said, when it goes, it's going to go in a way that I don't think you've ever seen it. It'll be worse than the Great Depression. When this goes down this time, it's going to go down and it's going to cause worldwide. But that also happens, coming up on it, it also has to happen because at some point, now, you know, even Pompeo said, hey, he thinks that maybe Trump was called by the Father and put there to save Israel. Well, and that's what I do believe, in the sense that it isn't a question of saving Israel, but I believe if Hillary Clinton would have became president, then they would have already, those other countries would have already went against Israel. It's not that time yet. And so it's a timing thing. When it gets that time, the United States, and I'm going to ask, and this is a question to Michael, to you, Mike, when that happens, the United States is going to have to be either obliterated or have a president that doesn't go with Israel for in order for the rest of the world to go against Israel. We either have to be taken out of the way or be in agreement with the world. Back to you.
Yeah, well, I believe in the next war that happens, the United States will actually be on the side of Israel, you know, and this is something Stan Johnson has talked about and brought guests on to talk about. So I believe the United States will help Israel in the war that's coming next. So, but we'll see how it all plays out. The thing with Bible prophecy, the further we get down the road, the clearer we see. And so, you know, we certainly see things a lot more clearer today than, for example, they did in the 1970s and 1980s when it was a very hot topic. But you go back and read some of those books and you're like, wow, they really missed some things. And of course, today, you know, we're going to look back and say we missed a few things too, but we do see things clearer than they did back then. But we get even further down the road, we'll see things even clearer. So things are going to become progressively clearer over time the further along we get. But, yeah, you know, with Trump in office, Pastor Dan, a lot of people said, oh, you know, we you know, a lot of people were acting like it was a great victory. But really what it was an opportunity. It was an opportunity for Americans to say, hey, maybe we can go in a different direction. And ultimately, if we ever want to make America great again, we need to turn back to God. But instead, what have we seen while Trump's been in office? Pretty much every form of evil in our society has continued to explode, whether it's the transgender agenda, whether we've got about two-thirds of the country in favor of gay marriage, you know, whether it's abortion, whether, you know, whatever, pretty much any type of evil, everything that the Word of God says not to do, it's exploding in our society today.
I got something on that, and absolutely, I'm in agreement with you on that, but I have just a little twist on it. I believe all of that has been coming on for quite some time, absolutely. I believe what a Trump presidency did was it brought it all out into the open to where the, you know, they're ranting, they're raving, and you're just seeing it. It's like a great revealing of where we're at because, you know, most of these people and ways for these things to happen came about during the Obama administration, but they weren't as public about it, and I'm sure you can agree with that, at least it wasn't public about it. But now they're right out in the open, and I agree with you. Everything that's an abomination, they're for. And it's just like nuts. And what's really nuts about it, brother, and I have, and this goes to the church, I'm firsthand, I'm out there in the world, I talk to people. There are so many churches and organizations that are not standing up against this, and this is what I rant and rave about the 501c church. Not all of them, but most of them in part are just in agreement with them. They rather appease than to fight and to stand up for the Word of God. And so that's where we're at. It's a great revealing. As far as America being taken out of the way, we're going to be there with Israel, but at some point, Israel, and that's how they get saved. Israel is going to have to call out to Yeshua. It's going to have to call out to the real God for help, the God of Israel, the God of Israel, which is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, are going to have to call out to the true God for help and not to the United States. And at that point, Yeshua will return and he will save them. But those are small prophetic points. The thing is we're right on the edge. Back to you, brother. And thanks for being on with me. I really enjoy you.
Oh, and I enjoy you, Pastor Dan. You're such a good voice, a powerful voice, and have been for so many years. So I always enjoy chatting with you very much. And I very much agree with you that it's been, under Trump, a time of exposure, kind of almost like God showing us our sin, where it's coming to the surface, where it's being exposed literally for the entire world to see. And the appropriate response to that by the population as a whole, and especially the church, would be repentance, turning back to God, saying, oh, look at what we've become, let's turn back to God. But instead, we haven't seen that happen. But instead, especially the church, Pastor Dan, we've seen an embracing of the LGBTQ agenda. We've seen them put both practicing homosexuals, practicing lesbians in the pulpit, many of our churches. And so ultimately the institutional church has, by and large, turned away from God and his ways. And it's been heartbreaking to see. And that's why so many people that I talk to, that I hear from, that I interact with all across America have gone out of the institutional church. They're meeting in home churches. They're part of the wider remnant of that. Absolutely. Is kind of, almost outside of the institutional church system because of how bad things have gotten inside the institutional church. Right. But, we apostasy in the last days is something that the Bible talks about, and it's something we're seeing. And it's so sad because that's what's one of the reasons why I'm sounding the alarm, why you're sounding the alarm, people like Stan Johnson and so many others. The goal is to bring people to repentance so that they can turn to Jesus with all their heart. And unfortunately, we're not seeing that. In fact, church attendance is at an all-time low. The percentage of Americans that call themselves Christians is at an all-time low. In fact, I recently wrote about how over the past decade, we've seen the percentage of Christians in America fall at the fastest pace ever recorded. People are turning away, even from the institutional church, which is so apostatized at this point. But it's really sad. But the good news is that judgment's coming on America. The events of the Book of Revelation are coming. But the good news is that Jesus is coming, and God is going to do some great things in these last days. My wife and I, Miranda and I, we believe that the greatest move of God in the history of the world is coming, even in the midst of all the darkness and chaos that we're going to see.
I got something here, and I want you to address this, and because somebody sent it to me, and it'll fall right in what you're saying. He says, this person says, they seem that's the, with all the corruption, of course, that's the spirit of Satan, right? That's the demons. He's got a short time. But he says that, are we being rightly divided, the tares from the wheat? It is reminiscent of the wailing and gnashing of teeth from these demons that know that Yeshua is about to ride against them. Does anyone expect to see a big revival? And man, what does the remnant mean to some people? That's really a question to what you was already answering. Back to you.
Yeah, when so many people use the term the remnant these days, but, I take my definition of the remnant right from the Book of Revelation. So if you go to Revelation 12:17, It talks about the remnant are those that keep the commandments of God and the testimony of Yeshua.
Yeah,
and so, you know, in these last days, God is raising up a remnant that will keep his commandments in these last days, that will preach the gospel to the whole world and bring in the greatest harvest of souls in all of human history, and that will move in all the fruit, all the gifts, all the power of the Holy Spirit like we haven't seen since the book of Acts. And so I've been preaching this message, you know, by radio, by television, wherever I go, all over America through my writing. And my wife and I, we are so excited about this. We want to be right on the cutting edge of this remnant, what God is doing, because we believe the greatest chapter of the people of God is going to be written in this hour, in the, as we see the events of the book of Revelation, as we see the end time events play out. And yeah, it's going to be a dividing of the wheat and the tares, right? And especially once the mark of the beast comes down the road and all these things, people are going to have to pick a side. And so people are going to say, either I'm all the way with Yeshua or I'm all the way with the world, one or the other. There's not going to be people sitting on the fence, and ultimately when the mark of the beast comes, it's going to be a matter of life or death. And if you choose Yeshua, you might be writing your own death warrant. So ultimately, people are going to have to decide, but now is the time, and I just encourage people to put God first, because this is the, you were born for such a time as this, and this is the hour for the people of God to do mighty exploits and to prepare the way for the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So it's an exciting time to be alive. I don't want people to be scared or afraid, because we've been waiting for these events. Yeah, things are going to be challenging, but it's also an opportunity to do amazing things for the kingdom of God.
Amen. Let me throw this in real quick, because we only got a couple minutes left. And one of the ways in which we can see these big revivals, there's a lot of signs. One, I believe the Messianic movement is one of those signs of the people coming out of the church and trying to follow the commandments. But beware, there is a lot of bad seeds in that Messianic movement that has some really heresies that you have to watch out for. But other than that, one of the greatest signs that we can see is actually, we've been talking about Iran today. Go to Joel Richardson, and you'll see that through him and this other fellow, I can't remember his name. They did a movie, I don't know if you saw it, called Chief Among the Wolves. One of the greatest revivals there ever was is going on inside of Iran. And you know what? Most of it is being led by women. And it's a fantastic thing. You got about a 2 minutes to follow up comments and say goodbye.
Yeah, similar revival in China where they're cracking down on Christians like we haven't seen in a very, very long time, shutting down churches, throwing pastors into prison, but great revival. China might have the most Christians in the world, but just encourage everyone to visit themostimportantnews.com, and or if you have any questions, write to me. But I just love Pastor Dan and his work and what he's doing, and in these last days, the remnant of God, the army that he's rising up in this hour, we need to be united, we need to be working together, because the hour is late, but the good news is that Yeshua is coming back, and we have a lot of work to do.
Yeah, amen. And I felt real led to make sure that I ask you this, and before the program was over, is Michael, I really would like to have you on more often. I didn't invite you back a lot. I mean, it's been almost a year, I think, since the last time I asked you on, but I want you to come back on more often because you give such a great analysis of the current events. I'm gonna be inviting you about once a month, brother, because you're important. Back to you. And,
I would be honored, Pastor Dan, and I believe that the Lord has been, putting that in my heart that now is the time to get back on radio and television and all these things, because, you know, now is the time for the Lord to be using me in that way. So I've been anticipating that doors are going to start opening up more in that regard, because it is that time now. It is that time. The seasons are changing. So I'm honored that you want to have me back on to share with the audience, and I'm very much looking forward to it.
I also have a lot of brothers out there on radio, and I'm going to start pushing you towards them. Now that to hear you say that, then I'm going to, promote you more. I just did not know in my heart of hearts whether you was ready again for that or not. Now I know that you are. So anyway, I got to go, brother. We'll talk again. You be blessed, and your family's a blessing to you, so that's a great thing. We'll see you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Pastor Dan.
Bye, and shalom. All right, folks, that was Michael Schneider. Check him out. Absolutely. share this radio program. Pray about Sport and Lifestyle Mission Church. We need your help, and pray about Sport Radio if you enjoy these programs. But remember, there is only one true God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua, HaMashiach. He gave his life for our repented sins. You got that? Repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That is praying for Yeshua's return. Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, Father, that you would please bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.